Well, good evening to all and welcome. Glad you're here. Before we get started, I will tell you I come down with some type of allergy this morning. So if I have to turn away to take care of business, kindly understand, because it's been rough all day. If you looked at your bulletin, the message tonight is taken from Proverbs. Maybe turn that down just a little bit, Manny. Seems like I got an echo. Taken from Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not upon thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it will bite like a serpent, and sting like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. And shall I awake, I will seek it yet again. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for this time to come and to worship thee. We ask now that you would fill me with your spirit, and may I speak the words that you would have me to speak, and speak not the words that you would have me not to speak. I ask that you give the congregation a clear understanding of thy message. These things we pray in thy holy name. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Amen. May be seated. Thank you for standing. Give you a little background on myself. For those who do not know me, I was raised in a Christian home in Putnam, South Carolina. My mother and father raised five children. I am the oldest, and I was the largest. I was saved at about 8 years old. My father worked in a cotton mill. My grandfather was a farmer. We had three different gardens, one for grandfather, one for father, and one for my uncle. Between the three of them, they owned approximately 200 and some odd acres. I was sent to the fields to help grandfather at an early age. And we did not have tractors. We used two mules and manual labor. And we worked about 5 days a week. Wednesday night was prayer meeting. We went to church on Wednesday night. We stopped work around noon or noonish that day. Sunday was a day of worship and rest. And so that's how I was brought up. After graduating high school, at the age of 19, I joined the military. I went into the Army, and there I served 20 years. After serving 20 years in the Army, I tried civilian life for about 8 months and decided to go to work for Luke Air Force Base for the next 25 years, or 24 years, credited for 25 years. I retired in 2004. Over my lifetime, I have seen what I just read to you enacted more than I wish to talk about. I know in its in the scriptures, and it happened as Proverbs, or as Solomon has just told us it happened. That's the way it happened in real life. I will attempt to explain these seven verses and give you a real reason not to drink. Wine and alcohol and substance abuse act as basically one. They all have the same effect on each one of you. And they will have an effect much quicker than you might think. Solomon gives here a basic reason of why he talked. If you look back at verse 20 of chapter 23, the first words it says, "Be not among wine bibbers." Wine bibbers is a person who drinks much wine. The Bible translates it drunkard. These seven verses are very compelling. These seven verses are very compelling, not and showing you the reasons not to drink. Take verse 29, marked by woe. Things that are caused great distress or troubles. Sorrow, a feeling of sadness caused by a loss, a misfortune, loss of relationships, and loss of your integrity. Contentions, angry, disagreement, strife, sometimes causing fights, babbling, speak incoherently, or complaining. Wounds without cause, black eyes, cuts, bruises, beaten as so badly it may call for an evacuation. I was witness to this at one time. Wine bibbers or drunkards, they bring all of this upon themselves. They have themselves to blame only. Think not that I do not drink this much. I can control my drinking. That's not true. Amen. Alcohol or wine will be addicted to you much faster than you think. It will take you down a road that you do not want to travel. And let's look at verse 30 now. Verse 30, it's waste time, either looking for a drink or lingering over one. If you turn to Proverbs, just a page or two back, Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The precious hours which thousands throw away, and every one which will be brought into account at that day, at great day. That great day is judgment day. And in other words, it is saying you will account for those hours you spent with that alcohol. They ask, where is the best wine? They seek mixed wine, which is the most pleasant to their taste, but it is the most intoxicating. Remember, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived by it, thereby is not wise. Verse 31, look not upon the wine when it is red. Red wine in Canaan was looked upon as the best wine. Therefore, it is called the blood of the grape, and it is most intoxicating. The person lived in a fantasy glorified for the appeal of a drinking. The warning is to avoid wine's enticements of beauty and taste. The enticements show only the beauty of drinking. It does not show the consequences thereof. Be not ruled by thy senses, but let thy serious thoughts correct the errors of thy senses and convince thee that that which seems delightful is really very harmful, and resolve against it accordingly. Do not be enticed by the beauty of drinking. It will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you wish to pay. Look at verse 32. The person ends up feeling as if he has been bitten by a serpent, a poisonous snake, or stung by an otter. An otter is a cobra, a very poisonous snake. That tells you alcohol is poison. It will harm your body, starting with your mind, throughout the rest of your body. It does more harm to your body than people realize. Take heed of the bait, the enticements, for fear of the hook, the consequences. All sin will be bitter in the end, and this sin in particularly. Think, therefore, what will be the consequence? A vehicle accident ending in serious injury or even death. Arrest, loss of relationships, loss of a good job, loss of your marriage, and loss of your integrity. Also, don't forget the loss of your good health. Destruction is the end thereof. It comes without warning, and you become addicted to alcohol faster than you think you will. Look at verse number 33. The person controlled by alcohol hallucinates and says strange things. He does not mean it makes men impure and disrespectful. The tongue grows unruly and talks extravagantly. By it, the heart utters perverse things. things contrary to reason, religion, and common respect, which they would be ashamed to speak if they were sober.
Amen.
Wine or alcohol will lead you down a road that you do not want to travel.
Amen.
Don't forget, it will cause you to lose your good health and your integrity. Look at verse 34. Becomes numb and foolish. The picture of a drunken, this picture is of a drunken sailor who falls into the sea and drowns, or goes to sleep at the top of the mast and falls to his death. A mast is referring to a large pole on a ship where they've got a small stand at the very top that you use for a lookout tower. It's also called the crow's nest. And if you try to sleep on it, you think you only got a stand. You roll off. Their heads are giddy. That means they're nonsensical. And when they lie down to sleep, they are tossed like the rolling waves of the sea. Their sleep is not refreshing. Their dreams are confusing. They forget the law and they pervert the judgments. They err in vision and stumble at the judgment. Look at verse 35. Craves alcohol more and more in spite of the hardships it brings. A drunk may be involved in a fight, but be in such a stupor, that is, a state of near unconsciousness, that he does not even feel the blows upon his body.
Amen.
They are heedless and fearless of danger and senseless to the rebukes they are under, either from God or from man. They fear no peril when the terrors of the Lord are laid before them. They feel no pain when the judgment of God is actually upon them. They cry not when his hands bind them. Worst of all, the heart is seared. The heart is hardened in sin, and the sinner, despite all these present hardships, refuses to change and persists in drinking and hates to be reformed. So perfectly lost is he to all sense of virtue and honor, and so wretchedly is his conscience seared that he is not ashamed to say, I will seek it again. Their woe is found in Isaiah 5:11. You can turn there to Isaiah 5:11. Isaiah 5:11 states, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. What that is saying, it's a verse taken where Isaiah is condemning Israel for righteous living and drunkenness, even in their priesthood. But it applies to the lesson tonight. Inflame them means that the alcohol or the wine has taken over the body, and it controls you. You do not control it. Wine will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you ever want to pay. The seven dangers and warnings of drinking wine or alcohol. The first, the six marks of wine bibber or drunker: woe, sorrow, contention, babbling, wounds without cause, and redness of eyes. Number two, waste time. Remember Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Number three, be not enticed by the beauty of drinking. Remember the worst side of drinking: vehicle accident causing serious injury or death, and the loss of your good health. Number four, he feels as if he's been bitten by a serpent or stung by an adder. Take heed of the bait, the enticements, for fear of the hook, the consequences. The person controlled by alcohol hallucinates and says strange things he does not mean, and becomes disrespectful and impure. The picture is of a, number six, the picture is of a drunken sailor who falls into the sea or goes to sleep at the top of the mast. Both cases, he falls or goes to his death. Craves, number seven, craves wine more and more in spite of the hardships. So perfectly lost is he to all virtue and honor, so wretchedly is his conscience seared that he is not ashamed. I will seek it again. In closing, I would like to give you a story of one man who was controlled completely by alcohol. He started out, as most people say, as social drinking. This leads to more than just one drink here and there. Remember, wine and alcohol are very addictive and can take control of you very quickly. Over time, he was preoccupied with alcohol of all types. He was, as some say, a functional alcoholic. I attempted to encourage him many times to stop, never demeaning him, and with kindness, but to no avail. After years went by, he would have a glass of alcohol sitting close by most all day, most every day. He was completely controlled by alcohol. Alcohol affects your health in more than one way. He passed away several years ago before his time. Therefore, I beseech each and every one of you not to drink alcohol nor take any part or have anything to do with substance abuse.
Amen.
I have seen them all, and they destroy dreams, careers, lives, marriage, and your good health. Remember, alcohol will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay.
Amen.
There is help, though. Anyone who has started down this path, there's help. You first must admit that you have a problem. You have sinned. Confess and repent of your sins to Jesus, believing he is the Son, the only begotten Son of God, that he was crucified on a cross. He died, and was buried, but he rose the third day for your salvation and for mine. Also, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Once you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, ask him to give you the courage, the strength to overcome the sin of alcohol or substance abuse, and trust Jesus to do so. He will, if you will only trust him.
Amen.
Thank you for your attention, Pastor.